Fantastic. So I'll just let everyone get their Bibles and bits and pens and paper, and then we'll start. Well, everyone just reconnects. Why don't you just close your eyes and or keep your eyes open, whatever. But you just pray in the spirits, begin to pray in tongues, pray in a flow of his presence, flow of his life. However you do that, however you find you can activate your spirits, begin to really step in tonight. This is not just a listening exercise. It's a very well, I want it to be a very immersive Monday nights, to be very immersive in their experience. Okay. Okay, it looks like everybody is back on. Great. So I thought I heard this joke yesterday. I don't normally start with jokes. In fact, I never start with jokes, but I thought I'd start with it because it's really rather sweet. Why do some people not like Russian dolls? Because they're so full of themselves.
Oh dear.
I thought it brought a smile to my face. It's not a reduce you to tears joke, but it's rather sweet. So anyway, I thought you'd like that. Free to use that wherever you want. let's just pray. Lord, we just welcome your amazing presence, that you would shine your face upon us tonight. Open our eyes and open our hearts and open our minds and awake us to realities that we've dimly glimpsed and heard about. But may you lead us, each of us uniquely, into deep encounter and deep reality of the things which are unseen to our natural eyes, but visible to the eyes of our spirits. So we welcome you to come and do that tonight and make this a really beautiful, productive time for every single one of us. And we thank you for your great kindness and your great love and your great goodness to us. Confident, Lord, that you want to teach us these things in these days. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, most of you have been on for the last year or so. You know that I've been on this, my own journey into understanding more of what it means to be a supernatural being, a spirit with a soul living in a body, and what it means to access the unseen heavenly realities around us, and to realize that it's always been God's intention that we very, very consciously move in the visible and the invisible realm. And God's desire is not just that we believe it exists, but we actually learn how to engage with it and step into realms that possibly in history have been the preserve of the sort of special saints, like the Mother Teresa of Avila's and the Julian of Norwich's and people like that, and begin to realize, oh my gosh, this really is for all of us. This is available for all of us and is part of our inheritance in Christ. Well, I think one of the things that's happened to me and in the last, probably the last 2 months, is I've begun to think more about what does it mean to have a spirit or to be a spirit with a soul living in a body. I was chatting to a friend of mine, and over the last 46 years, I don't think I've ever heard anyone teach on what it means to be a spirit, or what your spirit does or can do, or the capacity of your spirit. I always believed I had one, and I kind of knew we were meant to speak in tongues, but I'm not sure it got much further than that. I believed in the Holy Spirit, believed in the theology of, the Trinity and God's presence and all that, but I never really ever understood what it means for me to have a spirit. And what do I do with it? And I feel like in the last, I would probably say the last 2 months, I feel like someone who's been given a new car or a new computer or a new phone, and I'm going, oh my goodness, look what this can do. It's like my own understanding, my spirit has opened up a whole treasure trove of capacity and ability and capability in the spirit, which I didn't know I had. And that, as we'll see in a minute, I actually get to step into it rather than wait for it just to happen. I think for me, opening up and understanding about my spirit, that I'm body, soul, and spirit, it's brought new confidence in who I am and new confidence in stepping into heavenly realms, of accessing heavenly dynamics and realms and dimensions. It's brought a whole new closeness of intimacy with the Lord. I feel way more connected with him than I've ever done before. As a person, I feel more solid, more real, and more weighty, as I realize that my spirit shares in God's spirit and that he is ultimate reality. As I engage with my spirit and exercise my spirit, I also feel more weighty, solid, and real. And out of that, my soul and my body are feeling increasingly connected to my spirit, and I'm beginning to experience and feel and sense in a way I've never done before the invisible realms that I'm beginning to see and step into. And so I'm suggesting that what we do for the next 6 months on these calls, on the Zooms, is that each evening we'll focus on a different element of what your spirit can do. And then we'll do some study, we'll think about it, we'll look at it. And I hope that you, in your own life, are able to step into it and begin to experiment, put on your sort of inquisitive learning hat, and go practice, experiment, and study and learn for yourself. Because at the end of the day, this journey into sort of spiritual, you might call this mystical journey or this mystical union with Christ, it's profoundly unique for you, if ever for each of us. You cannot get it from a book. You can get the ideas and you can get inspired and encouraged, but at the end of the day, only you can step in and step into new dimensions and trust and experiment and learn with the Holy Spirit as your guide. So in a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to actually pray and accept and speak to our spirits and give them release. Really honor our spirits that God has given us and really bless them to lead us. But before we do that, a little bit, and please, we'll have a question time through different parts of this. So if you've got questions, please kind of store them up. So I guess the first question is, what is my spirit? I'm going to ask Maria if she could put the first picture up. And just pause. So scripture says that we're children of light who have been brought into the kingdom of light. And probably one of the most profound ways of describing your spirit is your supernatural capacity to share in the heavenly reality of God's presence and being. And it's the invisible light source that you are and that you carry. So just take a moment and just look at that picture and kind of own it for yourself. Dare to allow your heart, your imagination, your mind to accept that even wherever you're sitting right now, be it in Bury St Edmunds or in Epping or wherever you are, that you are a light being. Just take a moment. If it helps, put your hand on your heart. And just stop a moment and just receive that for yourself. That the deepest part of you is your spirit nature, and that you are a spirit being born again of light. God is spirit, and you are spirit. God is light, and you are light. And the first thing God sees in you tonight as you're sitting, wherever you're sitting, he sees you as a light being. Just meditate on this a moment. Receive it. Thank God that this is true of your truest nature. Okay, thanks, Maria. Do you want to put to minimize that? We'll come back to that a little bit later. In Genesis, God breathes into Adam and Eve, having made them out of clay, and they become living beings. And breath and spirit are essentially the same word in Hebrew. He gives them their spirits, they come from him. Whilst at the same time, and I think this is such an interesting thing, we share in the spirit with his spirit, but we're also uniquely individual persons. So we're not part of a cosmic ooze. We don't lose our individuality, rather that we're in union with him who is personhood. But your spirit is God-given. It was breathed into you by God. And I suppose at its simplest, it's a capacity to live fully connected to the unseen spirit realm. Your spirit is the capacity to live, I want to fully connected to the unseen spirit realm. Now, when we say unseen in our culture, we tend to think less real. If it's unseen, it's less real. Whereas the Bible is exactly the opposite. The unseen is the most real. It's the eternal substantial reality. And our reality of what we see, touch, taste, smell is a lesser reality than the unseen realities, which begins to mess with our heads as Westerners. But your spirit has been given is your capacity to live fully connected with the unseen real. Now, in Eden, what did that look like? They walked with God. They talked with God. They listened to his voice and had conversations. They could see God. They related in love to him. Out of their spirits, they could create. They could rule and have dominion. They named the animals. They say they are partnering with God in the created order. They protect, or they're meant to protect Eden. And it seems to me that they will, because at that stage, everything was visible. They engaged with the spiritual realm as though, in the same way that you would make a cup of tea. It was absolutely simple and normal and ordinary for them because that's the way they operated. And this was God's always intention that humans would operate as spirit beings in a spiritual universe. And as I said, they do it as individual persons. So they have agency, they have choice, they have will to flow in the spirit, or as the case tragically with the fall happens, to actually quench and resist the spirit. Now, the fall impacts everything, as we know. Chaos enters, death enters, sin enters. Man's ability to move in and by their spirits is severely reduced. So they die, but they don't die naturally at that point, but something spiritual dies in them. And their spirits now, as I understand it biblically, is they are spirits outside of Christ run to idols, run to the idolatrous, and cooperate with evil spirits. So as I understand it, the human spirit as spirits are effectively in relation to God, dead to him unless he breaks in, but alive to the powers that surround us on the planet. And then at salvation, our spirits are reconnected into union with the divine. We reconnect back into what we were always meant to have, which is the union of God in us in him, and we connect and live in the flow of the one true living God. But at salvation, I got converted on December the 7th, 1980. You may have a specific date. You may have a period of time when you stepped into your salvation. But at whatever point your spirit was born again, we've all begun a journey on learning how to live with this heavenly ability called your spirit and to begin to operate in it, with it, and through it. So we're led by our spirits. So we've talked about this before. Your spirit should lead your soul, which should lead your body. Your spirit should lead your soul. And by soul, we mean your mind, your imagination, your natural faculties of the inner life, your emotions, your thoughts, your will, your choices, your character, all part of the soul. Once you're born again and the spirit is now flowing in you and with you, we have to learn how to operate in and through the spirit by using our spirits. And that's the piece that I don't think I've ever had any ongoing teaching about. How do I actually, what can my spirit do? What's it capable of? And how do I do it? An enormous amount of the training I've had over the years have been how to live, as it were, out of my soul. Ethics and morals and doctrines and ways and principles and five this and five that and seven this and seven that. But it's actually out of your spirit that we need to learn to live.
Yeah.
Now, let's just stop there, Mo. Just breathe a sec. And if you've got any questions, just feel free to come off mute, and just open up. What thoughts, what questions, what would anybody like to ask at this point? Open up before we go, because we're not in any rush. We'll take our sweet time if we need to. It's absolutely fine. In one sense, it's not brand. I'm kind of we're going back over stuff we've talked about before. It's not that uncommon. Anybody got any thoughts, questions that they want to ask at this point? Okay. Right. Let's just dive a little bit deeper. The first thing is to say is your spirit is your spirit. Your spirit is your spirit. It's under your control. So in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32, Paul says, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. That means your spirit is subject to you. Now, mostly Christians would say, well, the Holy Spirit's not subject to me, and you're right. But your spirit is. So you have the capacity to operate in the spirit and through the spirit or not operate in through the spirit. We have control over our spirits in many ways, just the same way as we'll have control over our imaginations, our thought process, your leg or your arm. The question is, what do you do with it? But if you don't know what it's capable of, you don't know what to do with it. You don't use your foot to clean your teeth with. Use your hand with the toothbrush. Different parts have different purposes. And in the same way, your spirit has a very specific remit. I think there's something about Christians, we're always waiting for God to tell us what to do, for God to direct us, for God to show us. And of course, at one level, we absolutely believe that the Holy Spirit is the senior partner. But we're the ones who step into it or don't. And so what are we going to do in these next few weeks and next few months is open up the extraordinary capacity your spirit has to do and be and operate in the kingdom. I think that a lot of the time we see our lives as really there's a gap between what we see in the scripture, in our lives and in the life of the church, and what we see in scripture. And I think a lot of it, I'm increasingly thinking, is because we've not been told how to live by the Spirit and how not to live out of our spirits. And so we can ignore our spirits. We can minimize our spirits, we can dismiss our spirits, and therefore we're not actually, when we can operate very well in church out of a good Christian soul, talk all the right talk, say all the right things, enjoy the coffee, like love the worship, it's good music and everyone enjoys singing together. But it doesn't mean that your spirit is leading the way. And if anyone's led a church or led worship, you'll know what it's like to lead a bunch of Christians who are flat as a pancake because all week their spirits have been put in a box, and actually what leads them on a Sunday is their souls and their bodies. Once you get a group of people moving in the spirit, through the spirit, by the spirit, and their spirits are active and flowing and exerting energy and choice, oh my gosh, everything opens up. Everything opens up. So, number one, your spirit is your spirit and you get to choose what to do with it. Because your spirit is subject to you. Secondly, here's one, Romans 8, verse 16. The spirit witnesses with your spirit that you're children of God. It's Romans 8. Paul's very clear that the spirit resonates with your spirit, and in that resonance, in that agreement, you have revelation that you're a child of God. And I thought I'd just throw that scripture in because, again, what we're seeing is your spirit. What it has the capacity to resonate with the Holy Spirit, but only if you're in tune with your spirit. Christians spend so much trying to tune into the Holy Spirit, but they may never have really tuned into their spirit to begin with, and wonder why it doesn't work so easily. I think one of the most significant things is that we begin to learn to actually operate out of our own spirits and understand how our own spirits flow in and with the Holy Spirit in a very conscious, intentional way. Now, at this point, let me say this. We are not drain pipes. If I had a pound for every time I've heard teaching in church that get out the way, just let God flow through you, just try and be a drain pipe and let God flow through you. We are not drain pipes. We are fully functioning spirit beings with agency and ability and capacity to partner with the mighty Holy Spirit and flow with him. The most beautiful thing that God could do in Simon Ask's life is to reveal himself in a Simon Ask way. Because God wants Simon Ask fully alive, manifesting his presence in a way that's going to be different to the way he manifests through Stuart Lees. I mean, there's going to be a lot of similarity because it's the nature of God flowing through us. But each of us is uniquely ourselves, and God wants you to flow uniquely through yourself in your shape and form. So the spirit, because I don't think we can ever separate spirit, soul, and body. They are, I believe they're distinct, but almost every time we're moving in the spirit, our soul is involved. So at the end of there, you'll need to think something, feel something, know something, understand something, see something, and your soul is involved in that. But there are times when we release the control and get out of our own way, we begin to allow a flow, an inspiration, a movement, a frequency, a fluidity to happen that enables us to be led by the Spirit, and our spirits really lead the way. And I was thinking about this the other day. Western theology, as a trained theologian for myself, Western theology has worked very hard on talking about nature of God. So having been to theological college, there's stuff on who God is, why suffering, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, what the church is, and we've done all this theology. And it produces ethics, morals, theories, concepts, and doctrines. But I think the Western church theology has utterly failed in focusing on who we are. Who are you now you're in Christ? And I'm not sure that the Western church and the Western theologies have got. It's like we don't want to look at ourselves except to see ourselves as sinners who are just saved by grace and are going to heaven. And there's almost no depth or expanse or revelation around who are we now? What are we now? What is it? I mean, this sort of thinking was so far removed from my days in theological college. I mean, it wasn't on the agenda at any point. And I think what's happening in the church, and I believe will happen in the next move of God, is a whole new revelation. Who are we? What are we capable of? What is given us? So we can actually partner with God in a whole new level of supernatural grace. And I think a major problem in this is false humility. Oh, it's ever so good to be humble, and I'm a sinner, and I mustn't think too highly of myself. I mustn't be proud of myself. I can't say I'm a saint. I can't say I'm holy. And yet, these are biblical truths that are just so front and center, critical to get hold of, that they're just not in the teaching. And almost any teaching you hear in church is basically about how you should pray more, do more, give more, earn, share more. Very, very little teaching is about who you are in Christ, because almost very, very few clergy and teachers and leaders have revelation of who they are in Christ. And that's a systemic problem in the Western world. Interesting, the Eastern Orthodox doesn't have, they don't quite have the same problem, because from the word go, they believed in something called theosis, which we've talked about before, which is you share in the divine nature and you've been made to be like God. God became a man so that men and women could become gods, small g. That stuff is still absolutely shocking in Western theology to talk about. But it's absolutely creepy. If you want to live a supernaturally consistent life, you've got to come into a revelation that you are way more than you know you are. Have way more capacity and ability and capability in the spirit. To know that you're holy, that you're glorified, that you're powerful, that you're a citizen of heaven right now, not just when you die, that you're rich in God. And this type of language begins to unpack the extraordinary, what Paul would describe as the indescribable riches of Christ, open them up, but they only make sense if you understand they are in your spirit first. Because if you look at your behavior and your patterns of behavior and your success as a Christian, you would rate yourself pretty low, probably. But when you see who you are in the spirit, there's no way you can rate yourself higher. You can't think more highly of yourself than you are because you share in the divine nature, and we've only glimpsed that. So I think this teaching on this on your spirit, there's other factors that just need to be in place, especially the understanding that you share in the divine nature. And it's not arrogant to think you are sharing the divine nature with God, and that you are a light being, and you are glorious and splendid and spectacular and beautiful in the spirit. And the devil and the world will beat you up something rotten. And a lot of time we Christians have a sort of not sanctified, but we think it's okay to think terribly of ourselves. Whereas actually it's just agreeing with the powers of darkness. So I think there's a journey into a foundational element, realizing who we are. But I tell you what, as we begin to unpack this stuff and you begin to see who you are in the spirit and begin to actually step into it, not just believe it, engage with it, the most extraordinary things begin to open up. So I wrote out a list here. I've got it in front of me. And I'm not expecting you to remember all this, so do feel free to write it down. I've written out 15 different things that your spirit can do. Your spirit was made to do. Okay? And then we have some questions before we go to the next thing. So your spirit, your own spirit that you have, was created to carry divine nature. And as your spirit carries, contains, is imbibed with divine nature. And that's where we're going to focus on in a few minutes. So your spirit carries divine nature. Your spirit sees the unseen. Your spirit ascends. And by ascend, we don't just mean go up, as it were, like a rocket. Ascension means stepping into higher dimensions, which are right next to you. Okay, that was really good. Let me say that one again. Ascension means your spirit stepping into dimensions which are right next to you as the door you're sitting near leads you into the next room. Ascension isn't necessarily going up vertically, it's ascending into higher realms of divine reality and divine consciousness that you are right next to right now. It's at your right hand. You just have to learn how to step into them. Your spirit travels, can be in two places at once. You can instantly be in Australia. You can save a bit of journey, wouldn't it, Elizabeth? But you can instantly be in Kenya. Evening, Richard. He's in Kenya tonight. Because your spirit travels, it's multidimensional. It can be in two places at once and it can travel. Your spirit creates. You have the ability in you and through your spirit, made in the image of God, to create around you realities that aren't there at the moment. You can see all of this in the life of Jesus, by the way. Your spirit was created to rule and have dominion over the enemies. Your spirit was created to hear the voice of the Lord. Your spirit was created to pray and declare and worship. Your spirit was created to rest. Your spirit has the ability to flow. and move and be inspired. Your spirit is multidimensional. In other words, you can't just tie yourself down to spirit. You say it's only light. Your spirit is, and we may get onto this in due course, but your spirit is also fire and wind and glory and gold and light and color. Multidimensional, as it was with Jesus. Your spirit loves, has the capacity to move an extraordinary agape divine love. Your spirit can heal and release healing because it was made to heal. Your spirit was made to transform your character through transformational revelation and the life of the kingdom, not necessarily through behavior programs and really hard work. And your spirit was created and can carry resurrection power. It's powerful. It literally hums with power, like a Ferrari sitting out idling in your street. It's humming with power when you're just at any point. It's humming with resurrection power. So that's 15 different capacities your spirit has. And over the next, well, probably next rest of our lives, it's unpacking and learning to move in that and actually do it consciously, intentionally, because you were made for this. Again, this is your DNA. This is what you were created for in the image of God, to live like this whilst on the planet. So Karen and I say 2 feet in the heavens and 2 feet on the earth. I want to sing in the spirit and dance in the heavens with the angels, but I want to be able to make a cup of tea, write a thank you note, and give my friend a call. I want to be earthly and normal, but I want to be utterly heavenly at the same time. And they were never meant to be at odds. They're meant to flow in together beautifully. So we never say we're so heavenly minded we have no earthly use. That's not the point of this. Right, let's stop. Let's pause. Have a breathe. How are you doing? Let's take come off. Dude, come off mute. Let's just knock it around a moment. Thoughts, questions?
I just thank you so much for doing this, Stuart. You know, it's been really on my radar recently. I'm supposed to be teaching on healing the human spirit in Ukraine in 10 days' time, maybe not going, but that's just looking at the damage which can happen. But I just, you know, it's led to questions of what is my spirit anyway, and beginning to engage with my spirit. So this is just
Brilliant.
glorious. So thank you.
Hallelujah. Brilliant stuff.
Stuart, how do you sense your spirit?
Well, that's what we're going to do the next bit. Okay, that's exactly what we're about to do, because I think the first step is sensing, owning, seeing that you have a spirit. Once you sense, own, and see it, you can begin to connect and agree with it, believe with it, believe in it, own it. And that's what we'll do in a minute. Because if you look in the mirror and you don't see anything, you don't exist. And we as Westerners, we think if we can't see it, touch it, taste it, wrap it up, measure it, it probably doesn't exist. And that's probably the biggest shift. I think probably the biggest shift for me in the last year has been owning the fact that I have a spirit and beginning to see my spirit and go, oh, that's me. Oh my, that's me. That's me. And then it started with me seeing it as if I was looking at myself. But having begun to see myself, as it were, as it were, from a distance, increasingly now I'm just inhabiting it. I'm just being it. But to begin with, it was God's way of helping me see that it was real. Because I had a theory, but I didn't. And I still, I mean, yeah, I'm still a Westerner. I still, at some deep level, struggle with believing that something that is invisible is more real than what I can touch in front of me tonight. I imagine we're all probably very similar. That's what we grew up in.
So me, the real me, is spirit, but I have.
That light being we saw earlier, that's the real Elizabeth. But she's Elizabeth shaped, she's Elizabeth, she's not me. It's not a generic spirit, it's you. But you're a light being. Oh, hello. Ta-da! Thanks, Maria.
Stuart, what are the properties of the light?
I'm just trying to see who's saying that.
It's Claire. Hello, I'm
Hi,
waving.
Claire. How are you over there? Hi, Claire. What are the. See, okay, this is a great question, Claire. So, one thing that's really helped me is everything that we see in the natural world exists in the spiritual world first. That's good. So light existed in God before it existed in creation. God is light, but he's living light. Now there's some amazing things on YouTube if you go look into quantum physics and light, what photons and what it's made of, and I mean it's phenomenal. But in the kingdom, it's living light. He is a living light, and so we, in one sense, you look at what light is on the earth or in the natural world, and then you extrapolate it backwards. It's full of color. It's full of, okay, here's an interesting question. If all the light in the world, the different frequencies of light, was, you could stack them all up to the height of Nelson's column. If that makes sense to you. How much do you think we actually see of the light that exists in the world, in reality? How much do you think we see of that 600 and 585 feet or whatever it is of Nelson's column? What do you reckon?
I
Tiny.
think it's
Give me a number.
tiny
Give me a number.
1%,
It's
10%.
what
It's
would that
about
be? 6 foot?
2%.
6 foot? 5 foot?
Oh,
Right.
2%. What's 2%?
2%, about 15 foot.
Yeah, it's probably a foot or something.
Don't know how big Nelson's column is.
How do you know?
Let's say it's 400 feet, 500 feet. It's very
Okay,
big, very
2% of
high.
that.
Okay.
It's what is that? It's 8 feet.
Yeah. Okay,
One
so
foot.
it's under a tenth of an inch.
Oh,
That's
wow.
not.
How do
We
you know?
see,
Where's this come from?
I looked it up online. We see
I
the
disagree with that.
tiniest fraction of the different realms of light that exist in the world. Our eyes can only pick up a certain amount within a certain frequency, and that frequency is so small compared to what exists. And yet, look at how much we can see. It's amazing. But as compared to X-rays, all the different rays and frequencies of light, we are seeing a tiny, tiny percentage of what actually exists. Which I think is incredibly is an incredible allegory. We see a tiny amount of what exists in the spirit realm. A tiny amount.
Wow,
I agree.
Stuart, could I ask a question? So earlier on, you were quoting from 1 Corinthians 14:32, and you said something like, "Your spirit is your spirit, and you can choose what to do with it." Who's the you in in that sentence?
Oh, we suddenly got all very philosophical. I've been thinking about that, Rob. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer, but
Because earlier you said that what should be happening is our spirit is in control of our soul, which is in control of our body.
I was thinking about that actually. I've been thinking about that quite a bit recently. I think the thing I would say at the moment is where I'm at, because we're learning all the time.
Oh
Is there is an
no.
essential you
Oh come
that's and I don't even know what you'd call that essential you that has the capacity to use your soul well, your body well, and your spirit well. But you get to choose. It's what uniquely makes you Rob, what makes me Stuart, and what makes Elizabeth Elizabeth, and makes Rosie Rosie. It's
Right,
that
okay.
unique spark of divine nature which gets to choose what to do with what we carry and who we are.
Asking to do it again. Okay.
That's the best
Go
I
on,
got.
ask. Yeah,
Well, it's
ask
the
and say
ego, the
again.
id, I don't know what people call it, but it's essentially you.
Just tell me which one.
Is there a is there going to be a recording available? Because our internet connection failed just as you
Oh
started
yeah.
speaking.
Yes, there's a recording available, absolutely.
Right.
What I basically said, Rob, was I don't know,
Okay.
but there's an essential you in there that gets to choose what to do with your spirit, your soul, and your body.
Right.
And
Okay.
that's the bit that is possibly impossible to quantify. The mystery of human of we're a mystery. We humans are a mystery.
Okay, thanks.
Best say. Okay, let's go on then. Let's do now. If we don't get to the end of this evening, we'll pick it up next time. So come back, folks. I was blown. Oh, now let's do something. All right. So I'm just gonna. Why don't we? We won't actually won't use an image at this point. We'll just. So I'm just gonna invite you to sit and just. I'm just gonna. We're gonna pray together. I'll lead because it's obviously the only way it can work on Zoom. I'm just gonna lead us in a very simple act of owning our spirits. And thanking God and inviting the Spirit to teach us how to use our spirits as a parent would teach a child how to count or how to write or how to draw. Our Papa in heaven will teach us. The Ruach of God will teach us. There'll be angels sent to us to help us because God longs for us to learn this stuff. And all the resources of heaven will be at our disposal if we set our hearts towards this. So as you sit, just make sure you're comfy and just breathe in and breathe out deeply a few times. And I'm just going to pray a few simple sentences and leave a gap between each one so you can just own it for yourself in your own way. Thank you, Father, that you've given me a spirit. I accept my spirit tonight. As the deepest, most profound, and most powerful element of my makeup. Forgive me, Lord, where I've ignored my spirit. Dismissed my spirit. Quenched my spirit. And have put too much weight my own abilities in my soul and my body. I repent of that tonight and ask you to forgive me, Lord. And so I say to my own spirit tonight, I honor you. I bless you. I release you to lead. I'm willing to learn. And I ask you, Jesus, to knit together my body, soul, and spirit into one extraordinary whole, full of your life and full of your love. Stay in a. I'm not going to try and do any more teaching. I'm just going to do more an extended meditation together now, connecting, encountering the Lord. So just stay very much connected with the Lord. And I want you to imagine a water balloon. Big, very big balloon full of water, and you probably all held one, thrown one, carried one in your life. So hopefully that's a simple thing to imagine. A great big heavy water balloon. Your spirit, like the water balloon, is heavy and full. It's fluid and movable. Now you carry living water, heavy water, eternal water that flows out of the heart of God into your spirit. So you are a source of living water to other people. As the spirit flows with your spirit, living water flows from within you because you carry living water in your spirit. In the same way your spirit carries light, it could, like the water balloon carries the water, so your spirit carries light. It's con your spirit carries, contains, is immersed in, is full of, like a grape is full of juice, your spirit is full of light. The living light of God's presence in you. You and him. And him and you. Now just imagine in front of you there is a mirror that the Lord is holding up for you. He's going to show you who you are and what your spirit looks like. Now you can go any direction you want to here, but maybe for most of us, start with seeing your spirit as light. Just ask him to show, look in the mirror and see what he shows you you look like as a spirit being full of light. You may see yourself as clothed in light, emanating light. You may see different colors within your spirit, or one predominant color. Just trust that the Lord will show you tonight what you need to see, what you need to know about who you are. Because this is what the angels see when you walk down the street. It's this person the Lord invites into his very presence in the Holy of Holies in the heavenly realms. When you come before the throne of grace, it's this person. When you step into the throne room with the elders and the living beings and the fire and the seal, the glass of sapphire, this is you, and you're known in heaven. And just chat to the Lord about what you're seeing, what you're sensing, what you're feeling. Try and sense the thing that you see, the thing that you understand, the thing that your mind is telling you, because we all see and connect with these things differently. But so if you can feel the weight of that light, that heavy light, that heavy water, that heavy presence, because God is more solid, more real, more substantial than anything else that exists in reality. He is heavy, weighty, solid. His spirit is not fluffy light like a cloud. He is solid reality. And so are you. Another 30 seconds. Okay. Invite you to come back into the Zoom from wherever you went to. One of the things that has really changed my way, my understanding is that instead of going, I've had a picture, I had an image, very classic charismatic language. I'd love you to learn to say, I stepped into a dimension. You know, as when you see something, swirling colors, light, throne room, if you could dare to begin to believe, let yourself believe that you're actually there, rather than you having a picture of somewhere far off that you're not there, but you're having a picture of it, that you're actually there. Your ability to connect and relate to it will change greatly. This is where this type of thinking and this type of understanding, it literally changes the fabric of your being. It's like a deep, profound reshaping of your very inner reality of what is real and what's not real. We're learning to completely reshape reality from what we learned at school and at university and in the marketplace and the Western mindset, and actually come into something that's way more biblical. And I think this is absolutely massive for us. It's the renewing of our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is not just getting right doctrine. It's actually encountering truth in and through the spirit as our spirits begin to step into truth, which is a reality that is a heavenly reality. Because all truth is in Christ. Okay. It's now just coming up to the 9:15. So we're meeting again next month. Next month we'll pick up on where I didn't get to tonight. I have to prepare next time. I've got it all ready to go. That the fact your spirit carries and is a container of heavenly reality. And we're to look at that and look at that scripturally and have some fun. So I would really urge you between now and next month, just practice looking and seeing. And ask God to show you your spirit and your spirit nature. And then practice singing in tongues, praying in tongues, singing in the spirit, flowing and moving in melody and song and sound and words, not trying to control it, but let it flow in you and through you and around you by the spirit as you sing in tongues, pray in tongues, sing in melodies, sing out of your spirit. It can be la la la's, it can be melodies, it can be hums, it doesn't have to be tongues. What's happening is your flow, you're letting your spirit lead in a very, what Paul says, when I pray, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. He literally at that point says, your spirit is, it's your spirit leading the way here. And I believe the gift of tongues was given for a number of reasons. One of it is to flow in the flow of God's nature, but also to inspire, lead, and direct the rest of our souls and our bodies as we dare to let the spirit lead. And I would just say, if you're used to praying in tongues for 30 seconds, try and pray in tongues for 2 minutes. And then try and pray in 3 minutes and see if you can get up. See if over the next month you can get up to praying in tongues for 10 minutes, singing in tongues, praying in tongues. If something happens after about 3 minutes when you stop trying, and now you're just starting to flow because you've given up trying to work it all out and you kind of relax into it. And now the flow begins to flow. And I had some stories tonight, which I'll tell, like some of a particular miracle I'm thinking about, which Carrie and I saw, which came out of, well, just came out of pure flow. And it was almost kind of by the by because we weren't trying. And I think we're trying to, by and large, we try too hard with our souls to try and get it all right. And we need to let this, our spirits flow in a very childlike, simple, and joyful way. All right.
Brilliant.
Thank you so
Thanks for
much.
sharing.
So
Many thanks.
if anyone wants to stay on, it's quarter past. We say we finish at quarter past. If anyone wants to, if you just want to stay on for a couple of minutes and ask a question or make a comment, you're really welcome to. We'll cut things off in about 6 or 7 minutes time. So it's not gonna be for ages. But I always feel it's quite a hard end on Zoom. And if anyone wants to stay on for a couple of minutes and just chat a bit, you're really welcome to. Otherwise, God bless you guys. We've got two introductory evenings, which we sent the email out from Jeanette. It's for people who want to begin to join this journey and get some of the basics. And if, of course, you're all very welcome to join, but it'll probably be stuff you've heard before because we go back over stuff. But if you've got friends who would like to sort of step into this a bit and explore it a bit, do tell them about it. Do send them the links. They're really welcome. But it won't be next Monday. I put in 25th of May, which is next Monday, and then June the 1st. Well, of course, next Monday is a bank holiday. And I suddenly thought, hello, I should be with my wife on the bank holiday evening. So we'll do it on the 1st and the 8th of June. Jeanette will send that information out, but just so as you know. And yeah, you're welcome to come. You're really welcome to invite friends to come and just give them the links if there are people who are interested. As a simple, and each evening will be standalone. They don't have to do both. They could do one. So they don't feel like you have to do both. And then otherwise, we'll see you in June, guys. And thanks for being so much for being on the call tonight. God bless you.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Stuart.
Stuart.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
God
Stuart.
bless.
Stuart.
Stuart.
Lots of love.